Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the nation. That would be Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT, of course, along with David Shurtleff today. And David, are you hungry? I'm hungry. You can just nod your head if you want to. Yeah, he's hungry, too. I'm thinking maybe some ribs or a little tri-tip, maybe a little chopped pork. And we have the man on the phone that can actually take care of that for our radio tribe of carnivores here. Matt Ramey from the Pine Shed in Lake Oswego. I live there. I should know how to say it. Matt, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation.
Not a problem. it was interesting. I found your place. I mean, a lot of people go there. You've been around for a while here, but I have a friend that lives around the corner from your store or your storefront there. How long have you been down there on Pilkington?
This store will be 5 years old on February 13th, next month. So just exactly 5 years almost.
Well, happy birthday to that.
Yeah, thanks.
How did you get into the barbecue business?
Well, there's a long answer, but I'll try to give you the shortest one. I happened upon a part-time job doing barbecue catering when I was in college down at Cal Poly in San Luis. And you know, that was fun enough, and it was on the weekends and that kind of thing. And then along about my sophomore year in college, while we were down for the Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles, I worked at the gentleman that I'd been working for. His name's Fred Sweeney. I think he's still a barbecue caterer down on the Central Coast. He's a Santa Maria guy. Before McClintock's had it, this is, you know, quite back in the old days, I say now, had the tri-tip sandwich stand at the Mid-State Fair.
Sure.
And it was just in the beginning, it's what up here in the Northwest you'd call it a food cart. It really was a single axle trailer, and it was kind of hokey and warm and cramped. But the year that I started, back then my uncle was the president of the fair board, and they had approved funds to build Fred, pour a foundation, and build a little building, air-conditioned and more spacious and all that. Anyway, he's selling tri-tip sandwiches at the fair, and a tri-tip sandwich down there is a little different than it is nowadays up here. It was just the tri-tip sourdough that's buttered, and then just we would refer to it as pico de gallo up here. They just called it salsa on the Central Coast, making these sandwiches. And to answer your question, I was just bitten. There was of course, this is the Mid-State Fair, but there's a line of people down the Midway, and this is before electronic payment or debit cards or Apple Pay or any of this stuff, and it was just stacks and stacks of $20 bills, and it looked like a drug deal had gone down.
Sure.
And I remember saying to my father, you know, I was like an Econ 212 or something at the time. You don't know anything about anything, what he was paying the fare, food cost, and all that. He was just paying us, you know, $6 an hour under the table. But I just said to my dad, you know, this is it. This is, and so, you know, there's been some twists and turns along the way, but I was really bitten by the, not only were people passing over their money, but they were happily passing over their money with a smile on their face, getting, you know, what is really a simple yet good tri-tip sandwich. And I thought, boy, if you could just do that all the time, you know, what else is there?
Well,
so that's kind of how it started for me.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, I actually dabbled in that business at one time with fair food and food carts. And I've done a lot of things. But there's something about when you're inside the booth or inside the food wagon or whatever, and those $20 bills come across, it affects your thinking.
I suppose that's true. I was working with a gal that I went to school with, and we didn't have any particular skill or anything. We were just making these sandwiches as fast as humanly possible, and it just, you know, it's the fair, and of course, if you know anything about the Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles, it's always been a very big, popular event for you know, I think it's maybe 3 weeks now, but back then it was 2 weeks long, and it's just you know, it's a big attraction, so there's a lot of people, so you're not necessarily going to get that result on any street corner, you know, we certainly got that result there, and it's exciting.
Years ago at the Scottsdale Horse Show in February, I saw a very similar thing, and this was way back in the, you know, mid-70s type thing.
Sure.
The guy had a sticky roll cart, okay, and it was not like Cinnabon, didn't have any frosting on it. It was these cinnamon rolls with this gooey, you know, pecans or walnuts or whatever, and
just the brown sugar and the cinnamon.
Yeah, and people were lined up on that thing starting at 4:30 in the morning. I mean, for like 80 deep, literally, you know. And he was charging $5 a whack for those things back in the 70s, and he would sell out every day. And it was like, that's a smart man. Anyway.
Well, I don't know how smart Fred was, but you know, I think that I think a little bit of thinking went into it. But that was a, you know, that was a really great gig for him for those couple weeks. And I don't know that it had, you know, that kind of lasting effect on anyone else. But you know, I think about it often. And of course, if anybody asks me, like you just did, I mean, that's the, you know, that's the memory that I go back to. I worked plenty of barbecues with him where the menu was always tri-tip, and back in those days, I don't really remember a lot of ribs in the Santa Maria-style bar, at least not out on the road. It was always split chickens and tri-tip were the main, you know, were the main proteins, you know, on the menu.
Sure.
And then during the fair, of course, just the tri-tip.
Well, having lived in L.A. and in California, you know, in that time frame you're talking about, 70s and 80s, that type of thing, it really wasn't known for barbecue to speak of. You know, there weren't bastions of barbecues. You would find things like your guy Fred there and that, but
sure,
you didn't drive down you know, Mountain Boulevard over there in San Bernardino or whatever and see a bunch of barbecue stands. You just didn't see them.
No, I think that I think during that time I don't think it had become necessarily commercial yet. I think there was quite a bit of barbecue, but if you went out into the, you know, just outside the city into the unincorporated areas in the farmland, I think you'd find a lot of particularly the ranching families,
right,
had, you know, barbecue pits, what you would refer to nowadays as a Santa Maria-style barbecue pit, and a brick open pit, you know, where the screen can be adjusted up and down. You'd
mm-hmm.
find those almost everywhere. So I think there was plenty of barbecue. It just wasn't, you know, wasn't really commercial. You know, and depending
right.
on who you believe, you know, and what store you subscribe to, the tri-tip itself, which is so popular now, didn't really come in, you know, to being as a cut until the, you know, maybe until the 50s. You know, and it may have been right at that, what was that? There was that Safeway store there in Santa Maria at the corner of, it was like Mill and Vine, where the guy was working in there, and, you know, he's cutting the top sirloin and decided to, you know, rather than chop the triangular kind of excess piece, he, you know, put it on the rotisserie there for a little bit and decided after an hour or so that this was great. So, you know, if you believe that was, you know, when the tri-tip first came around and that was the 50s, you know, it took a while for, you know, word to get out. You know, people coming by Safeway to try. I think eventually that gentleman started his own meat market and helped it, you know, helped it that way. But if the cut that, you know, we're so wild about, you know, has only been around for, you know, decades, it's not a big leap to think that, you know, there wasn't a lot of commercial places selling it in the 70s and 80s.
Right. It's not historical, you might say. We're going to take a break here, but I want to tell you really quick about, you know, this is a barbecue show, of course. Bear Mountain Barbecue Pellets. My buddy over here, David's nodding his head again. He goes, you know, you got to go to break. But they make these pellets with the flavors and stuff, but they don't use any glue, any adhesives like that. They're all just pressure, put together with pressure. I've been to their plant. You've heard me talk about them before. They don't add any flavor oils. Matt, do you use any pellets at all ever?
I I don't now. I have in the we've got a pellet stove here in the bar to keep it warm.
Yeah.
we just use plain pellets.
Sure.
In the past, I had used in the old days, I used to get to borrow a large a pellet grill from one of the local companies down here to do turkeys at Christmas or at Thanksgiving time, and I used pellets for that.
Okay.
Just like a large pellet oven, but now I just burn oak.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Matt Ramey from the Pine Shed right after this on Barbecue Nation. See, I got that right. How about that?
On FM News 101.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me.
It's full-flavored radio. Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Let the midnight special.
Welcome back to the Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and you're listening to us either here on KXL or the Radio Northwest Network. Happy to be in your ear, so to speak, today. Couple of quick things here. If you ever want to contact us, you can email us at Barbecue Nation. That's the letters BBQ Nation at KXL.com. Or if you want to send us a recipe and we use it on the air, I might send you a prize. How's that? Out of my own prize closet. I have special things in my prize closet that they don't have here at the station. Say hi to a couple of our affiliates today, KBKR over in Baker City and KWVR over in Enterprise. Thanks, guys, for having us on your airwaves. We've got Matt, the man, Ramey here from the Pine Shed in Lake Oswego. Matt, I wanted to ask you something.
Yep.
10 years ago, unless you lived in Central California or Southern California, you probably had never heard of Santa Maria-style barbecue. Seriously, because every geographic region around the country has their own, you know, Texas style, Carolina style, whatever.
Sure.
Why don't you define Santa Maria style for us?
Well, what Santa Maria style means to me, you know, and I was born in San Luis Obispo and I grew up on the Central Coast. So, you know, the first thing I think of when I think of Santa Maria style is I think of the city. And of course there's there's a couple of really famous places down that way that have, you know, been serving tri-tip for a long time.
Sure.
And so I think of the geographic area when I think of Santa Maria style, and then I think of my own experience working for Fred Sweeney during college, and that was, you know, Santa Maria style, you know, barbecue. We had, you know, just a good supply of oak wood and a real good hot fire, and then Fred's rub back then was a real classic Santa Maria style rub, and when I say rub, I mean a spice mix, and it was just salt, pepper, garlic, and he was a big old Portuguese guy, he would take dried parsley flakes and put them in the palm of his hand and rub it with the other palm to kind of use it like a mortar and pestle and put that down, and it's a fairly classic rub. You're not going to see a lot of other spices and paprika and chili powder and all the other kind of stuff you see all over barbecue these days.
Right.
Anyway, spicing the meat, when we're talking about tri-tip now, you do the same thing with split chickens if you had those, and, you know, grilling it over a pretty hot flame and getting a good crust on the outside and really leaving the inside fairly rare, and serving it with a sourdough, and there's real good sourdough on the Central Coast now, San Luis sourdough. And then salsa, and that's really, you know, that's really those flavors simply done probably define Santa Maria style barbecue as well as anything.
Well, tri-tip is one of my favorites. I actually, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was, but when first time I had it, I was in Brazil. Listeners have heard this story before, so I won't bore them with it. But when I came back to Oregon, I couldn't find it.
Sure.
They weren't carrying it here. And so couple of the butchers I knew. I mean, you could go to Safeway or Albertsons or one of those, and they didn't know what the hell you were talking about. But if you went to a private butcher shop, a couple of them knew it, and then gradually it started to show up. Now it's tough to keep in the stores. So
yeah, I think that's I think you're right on. I think in the early days it spread probably by word of mouth, and I read one account that said people coming and going, people in the military coming and going from Vandenberg Air Force Base would come and take it with them and, bring it to wherever they were going. And then it wasn't long before folks from the valley, when I say the valley, I mean the San Joaquin Valley, were coming over and, taking cases of it back for barbecuing. I don't think that you saw it on a large scale. There was a warehouse chain in California called Price Club.
Yep.
And they started carrying it. And I think when Costco acquired Price Club, you started to see it, at least on the West Coast, at a lot of the Costco meat counters.
Right.
And once something's at a Costco meat counter, it's found.
Yeah, it
so
is.
I think that was the part of the proliferation of tri-tip, at least here in the West.
So when I was down at your store the other day, you were showing me around. Now, you build your own smokers?
Yeah, I have a friend named Brian that's got a company out in Clackamas called Star 13, and he's an engineer and a welder. And I had made friends over Facebook with a guy named Joey Machado some years ago. And he's a Texan and a competition barbecuer. And he had some photographs of a cabinet, not unlike something that I'd seen out in Fresno, California. And it's a smoker. It's an offset smoker, but it was set up to where the bottom pan is built out of quarter-inch steel with vents so you could burn a fire in it. And so I had him send me some pictures, and then I sent the pictures over to Brian with some notes, and he kind of designed on the CAD this big cooker, and we thought it might work, and so he went ahead and built it, and we built it out of steel tubing, and it's skinned on the inside and the outside with thin steel, so it can be Ruxel steel form insulation in there, so it can cook all year long in the summer, the winter, and all that. And it does a great job smoking, but one thing it does that a lot of just typical offset smokers can't do is I get some direct heat on the meat. I get some direct heat on my tri-tips, on the ribs, chicken, particularly important with the sausages. So I can move them over just into the smoke, but I can bring them over to the side where I've got a fire actually burning in the chamber. I've got air coming in there and venting out there, so I've got direct fire and smoke in the chamber, and it gives the product something that you can't get just on a Santa Maria style grill, and something that you won't get in an offset smoker.
Sure. When we come back, we're going to take another break. We are going to talk to you about the Pine Shed itself and what makes it unique. And then, my friend, you get to play our famous lightning round. I never told you about that, but I think you'll have fun.
No, I don't know what the lightning round is.
Well, I'll tell you here in about 45 seconds or so. But anyway,
okay. We're
going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation, and we will be back to all our stations down the line. Thank you very much.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Oh, yeah, I love a little Creedence there, especially on a Saturday afternoon. If you're hungry, by the time this show airs, Matt's probably sold out of food at the Pine Shed, but remember this. This song, it'll make you want to drive over there on Pilkington Road in Lake Oswego, right there off of Lake Grove, and get yourself some good barbecue. Anyway, we've got Matt Ramey with us here today. Matt, I wanted to ask you, when you and I were talking the other day, and we were discussing other restaurants around the country and other barbecue, aficionados and that, and it's all good. There's room for everybody like that. But you made an interesting comment, and I think that that's really so true. You said you don't hit it every day, and that kind of stuck with me. And what I mean by that, folks, is, you know, if you're, especially if you're a restaurateur and you're open 300 days a year or 360 days a year or whatever it is, probably 355 of those days, everything's going to be pretty much the same. So you can expect the ribs or the brisket or whatever. But once in a while, sometimes just you don't hit it every day. And I thought that was a really astute observation of yours.
Well, we hold ourselves to really high standard.
Sure.
And I think most successful folks do. I was listening to a radio. I don't know if it was a radio. I guess it was a podcast. There's a guy that owns a restaurant company in Portland, Chef's Table, Kurt Huffman. And one of the things he said was, a lot of successful places have one thing in common, and that's somebody working their ass off. And I think he's exactly right about that. It takes a lot of effort. And, anytime something takes a ton of effort, day in, day out, you're human. You're going to get tired. You're going to, miss things from time to time. And while we do hold ourselves to a really high standard, we make everything from scratch around here. I think it would be, a little bit fool of yourself to think that, you get it right all the time. And as soon as you start thinking that you get it right all the time, you shut yourself off to constructive criticism. You shut yourself off to the idea that, maybe you did miss something that needs correcting and it's affecting a customer in a way that isn't good for the customer or good for the business. And so I think I think that if I try to do anything around here, I try to lead with a good amount of humility. And we're going to try our best the whole time, but, we're not going to blow up and pout if things don't go exactly right. Remember, we're working with fire, which is it's got its own idea about what's going on, and then you're trying to cook a whole bunch of different cuts of meat just right. And if anybody has any experience eating or preparing barbecue, they know that there's a certain window of time when things are perfect, and then there's another window of time when they're good. And there's another window of time when they're average, and then, it can go downhill pretty quick.
Sure.
And so trying to get the product done just right and get it to the customer right in that window and do it hundreds and, really thousands of times a month is it's a challenge. It's a challenge, and it's not easy.
No, it's not. And I only brought that up for the fact of we have a lot of barbecue competitors that also listen to this show. I mean, they call me,
sure,
email me and that. And in their situation, it's, they may win first in the brisket or ribs or whatever,
sure,
one weekend, and they may get fourth the next weekend. It's a different set of circumstances. It's a different set of judges. It's a different set of, ambient temperatures outside. There's all kinds of factors. And so for those in the competition world, it's probably more dramatic for them than it is for somebody who owns a, brick-and-mortar restaurant.
I think that's probably true, and I think when you're in a competition, you've got your ego all wound up in, getting first place and being better than the other guy or girl, and, that's a little bit different, from this. People... I had one of those. I think he's actually been on your show. There's a guy named Jesse Henry.
Oh, yeah.
That was in with his wife some time ago. And I bought a close smoker. I found it online, and I didn't really need it at all, but it was such a great deal, I couldn't pass it up. So I bought this, and just about the perfect size for competitions and all that. And so he asked me, and other people have asked me, if I ever did competitions, which I never have. But, my answer also is I'm in a competition every day.
Yeah,
I mean, my competition is to get this stuff cooked correctly and sell all of it and grow sales day over day, week over week, month over month, year over year, and that's my competition. So the same kind of thing, just there's no blue ribbon involved.
Absolutely. Well, it's that time here for your first experience with our lightning round. You ready?
I guess so.
Okay. I ask you some interesting, sometimes off-the-wall questions. You give me real short answers, or if you're stumped completely, then you're stumped completely. Okay? Here we go.
All right.
Is it easier to cook? Which is easier to cook in the winter, beef, pork, or chicken for you?
Well, they're all equal.
Okay. Do you, Matt, have a favorite winter comfort food?
My favorite winter comfort food is smoked chicken and dumplings.
There you go. Wow, added the dumplings. Wait, you smoke the dumplings too?
No.
Okay. What's the worst thing about grilling or barbecuing in the winter? This is for backyard people, people at home. What would you think that would be?
Oh, it certainly would be the temperature.
Yeah. What's the best thing about grilling or barbecuing in the winter?
Well, I think it's the best thing in the winter is the best thing in the summer, and that's that you can develop flavors that you just can't develop inside of your normal kitchen.
Okay, very good. If you had one person in the world that you could have cook for you, who would that be?
I've got a hold of an old cookbook that was the George Washington's White House cookbook.
Yeah.
And I don't know who cooked for him, but I think it'd be fun to have that person cook some of this stuff because it is fantastic sounding.
Might be a little tough to do unless there's...
Yeah, no, certainly it would, yeah.
Anyway, what is...
You meant anybody that was alive.
Yeah, anybody that was alive. not anybody through the history of time.
I guess Thomas Keller.
Okay. What is the best day for Matt Ramey contain for activities away from the restaurant?
Well, the only day then would be Sunday. And, my favorite thing to do on Sunday is try to spend some time with Jennifer and with our Dalmatians that has nothing to do with work. And that's a little more difficult than it sounds.
Okay. Yeah, I can believe that. If you were declared supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would you, Supreme Ruler Matt, decree?
What would I decree for barbecue if I was in charge of the whole thing for a week? I really don't know. I think barbecue is. I think barbecue at its base is so free spirited. I don't think that anybody would listen to anybody decreeing anything about barbecue at any time.
That's probably the best answer we've ever had. Who's your favorite band or musical group? And you can't say Kiss.
My favorite band or musical group, right now, I think Foo Fighters
okay.
is my favorite band.
All right. You get a thumbs up from David on that. What's your favorite winter beverage?
The same as my summer beverage. I drink Barks root beer like it's going out of style.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what season, that's what I drink.
All right. Two more questions really quick. Ever cooked in the snow in your underwear?
No, goodness, no.
Okay, and the best advice for winter warriors, weekend warriors, barbecuers?
Keep your wood dry.
All right. Matt Ramey, you passed the lightning round here on Barbecue Nation. How about
Thank you
that?
Very much.
Yeah, you did. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back. Wrap up the show with Matt Ramey from the Pine Shed in Lake Oswego in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back to the Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL, high above the city in downtown Portland. We've got Matt Ramey with us today. I wanted to give you some very serious news, though. It just came across my desk. It says every day thousands of innocent plants are killed by vegetarians. Help end the violence. Eat more bacon. There you go. That's about as serious as I ever get. So, Matt, what makes the Pine Shed unique?
Well, one of the things that makes us unique is we make our own sausage, we make our own bacon, we make our own pastrami, and a lot of people don't think of pastrami when they think of a barbecue place, but actually today's Pastrami Friday, so I've got them in the smoker now. They'll be ready to go here in about an hour, and people really turn out for that. It turns out fantastic. I think the other thing that makes us kind of unique is, we've sort of grown up organically over the years. So we started with a little building next door, and then, that building got bigger and bigger, and then we built the patio. And so we've kind of, we've grown up, the business has sort of grown up with us. We've grown up with the business rather than, more of a cookie cutter deal, like in a strip mall or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, we've never ever done anything from the food side for convenience. Everything's always been done to make it, true and real and authentic. And I'm not really ever gonna change that. We just got the fire inspection yesterday on a new hood and a new kitchen. So we're gonna, have a little bit more, capacity, but we're not gonna subscribe to any shortcuts or start cooking barbecue stuff in the oven or anything like that.
Right.
We're gonna do it the way we've always done.
Well, and weather permitting, you have tables outside there too.
Yeah, we actually seat just over 70 people outside. So when the weather comes around, it's a whole different thing. We do about 40% of our business is always carry out. And that shaves down a little bit in the summertime because so many people do eat here. We seat 32 in the bar and then 70-some outside, and then we're going to gain 10 stools, rather, back in the open kitchen. We have a lunch counter in there from the old days. It's going to get reconfigured and so people can sit in there again. So we seat quite a few.
That's good. And I got to tell you, when I walked through there yesterday, it made me hungry.
Yeah, well, the smoker's going out there, and the aroma sort of permeates the whole property now. It's nice that I've got a bunch of neighbors across the fence in the R3 zone that I get along with just fine.
Yeah.
So they don't seem to mind that it smells like barbecue.
Well, one thing I was impressed with is because I walked around, and I think we were kind of walking in circles, because I actually walked in the side door, and you weren't in there, and I went out the back, and I walked by your smokers, and I saw your big kettle of sauces and stuff you were cooking out there. And I went, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. So I was impressed. And your bar is really nice. It's got, obviously, the Pine Shed. It goes without saying about that. But, your people there were really friendly and nice. So really quickly, before we go, tell our listeners, when you're open, when you're not, that type of thing.
Well, we're closed on Sundays. We open every other day at 11. We go till we're sold out. Typically, we make it to the evening time, but if you're looking to buy stuff later on in the day or evening, it's always a good idea to call first and, reserve particularly your pork ribs because they're going to go. You can find all the other information about opening, special events, holidays, catering at our website, pineshowribs.com. We're right here in Lake Oswego, 17730 Pilkington Road, Lake Oswego, Oregon.
We'll put it on our website. We'll put the link to the Pine Shed and that. And, of course, the podcast will be up. David shaking his head, kind of maybe yes, sort of something. That probably be up within an hour after this show is off the air, so everybody can figure that out. So, Matt Ramey from the Pine Shed, thanks for being with us today. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Now, really quickly, if you're down in Woodburn, stop by and see my friends at Barclays. Go in and ask for Mark or Jamie. Tell them I told you to give him a good deal. That's going to be it for this week. We've got McGarian coming up with his drinking show. That's what I call it. And very quickly, Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, copyright 2016. The Nation is produced and tolerated by David Shurtleff in Production Compound 4, high above the skyline in Portland. We'll be back next week with another audition, some sort of audition. Anyway, I'm JT. You guys have a good week, okay? See you then.